This is an MUT Radio podcast.
And this is Ivuku Bangene. And usually on Wednesdays, we usually have Abakamlambo attendees. And today is no different because we do have Othembela Madikizela as well, Miss Adila Ali on MUT Radio. They're joining us live to speak about something very interesting. So many people do not believe in this, but some do believe, and it works for them. So I'm yet to find out ukuthi sikhuluma ngani and what is it, what actually is it, and how does it work? Cohabitation. Now one would ask themselves, what is cohabitation? Luckily, we do have Miss Adila Ali who's joining us this morning, as well as Othembela in studio. Miss Adila, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on MUT Radio. Okay, Miss Adila, good morning.
Good morning, Aweto and listeners. Thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners about cohabitation agreements today and hopefully offer some insight.
Definitely. Good morning, Othembela, as well on your side.
Good morning, Aweto, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Very exciting indeed, Ms. Adila, to be speaking about cohabitation. If you can just describe to us, when you speak about cohabitation, what exactly are we speaking about when you speak of a cohabitation agreement?
So today we're just going to be discussing an introduction to cohabitation agreements, some of the benefits of cohabitation agreements, and how to enter into a cohabitation agreement. And then we're just going to be talking about some of the rights that can be enforced in these types of cohabitation agreements. I'm going to just start off with an introduction to just give the listeners a feel of what it actually is.
Yes.
So in South Africa, many couples live together in committed long-term relationships without formalizing their partnership through marriage. Now, while this arrangement known as cohabitation is common, it does not grant the same legal protections as marriage. This is where a cohabitation agreement becomes important and something we as lawyers would advise our clients on. Mm. So specifically, what is a cohabitation agreement? It is an agreement that is a written contract between unmarried partners who live together. It outlines how the couple will manage their finances, property, and responsibilities during the relationship, and in the event it ultimately ends. You draft the agreement with a lawyer, sign it, and ideally have it notarized for additional protection. While notarization is not compulsory, it is recommended. So unlike antenuptial contracts, this agreement is not registered with the deeds office. So the original can be kept by the couple, or we can perhaps keep it in a safe.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I honestly did not know that there was a such thing as a cohabitation agreement. I thought if people wanted to have like a long life partner, they can just do it freely. But it does protect you in some instances, as you did mention there. Probably there are some myths around it. Maybe Othembela can could put you in now with regards to the myths and why it matters.
Okay, so many people believe that if they live together long enough, they become common law spouses, but South African law doesn't recognize this concept of common law spouses. No matter how long you've lived together, you don't automatically acquire the legal rights of a married couple. Mm. So a cohabitation agreement helps protect both partners, especially in the event of death or separation of one of the partners.
Mm. Now let's dive into it, Ms. Ali. What does the agreement protect in particular? Because I mean, we have I have a partner. I've been living with this person for quite some time, and we've probably bought some things together. We probably have some agreements within each other. What does it actually protect? This agreement.
That's a very good question. It offers legal certainty, so it clearly defines each partner's rights, responsibilities, and ownership of assets. Mm. It also is there for property protection, so it allows couples to decide whether assets will be jointly owned or kept separate. And then for debt division, partners can agree in advance on how their debts will be managed and who's going to be liable for what. It also offers financial support. So the agreement can include terms for maintenance or support if one partner is financially dependent, perhaps on the other one. Enforceability. So if it's fair and properly executed, this agreement is legally binding and enforceable by courts. Estate planning. It also supports your will by setting out your intentions in the event of death, or and it also reduces uncertainty.
And what are some of the key components of the agreement, OT?
So the agreement can set out many things. So we'll start with property ownership. In this way, it identifies which partner owns which assets. In terms of monthly contributions, it sets out how bills and living costs will be shared between the partners. In the event of debt responsibility, it clarifies who will be liable for specific debts. And household items, it allocates household goods in case of separation. And pets, if you have pets, it sets out who will care for and pay for the pets. If the couple has children, it captures the parenting intentions that are subject to the Children's Act. In the event of separation and death, it explains how property or support will be handled. And if there is a dispute, it establishes how disagreements will be resolved.
You know, I'm looking at this agreement and how you guys are actually explaining it. Probably one is not familiar with the common law, in particular in the marriage agreement. What actually does it how is it different from the agreement yomshado or the marriage agreement? Because when I look at these things, those are some of the things that are included in the marriage agreement. So how exactly is it different from a marriage agreement?
So this cohabitation agreement is for people who are not married, but it is very different in it's different to an antenuptial agreement because the antenuptial agreement sets out how we are dividing property in marriage, and the antenuptial agreement stems from how you have decided to be married. This agreement just sets out we're living together, we're not married, and how are we going to regulate our living together, and how are we going to share items and share responsibilities while not being married. So it's a very different, it might sound the same, but it stems from just we are living together versus the antenuptial contract stem from we are married and how are we going to separate assets should we divorce. And this one, it's when we break up, or if we break up, how are we going to divide stuff?
Oh, okay. No, it makes sense. Definitely makes sense. Maybe Miss Ellie, please take us through the steps to finalize now this agreement.
Okay, when we're trying to finalize the agreement, I think the first step would be to have the conversation. So begin by just discussing the idea with your partner. It is important that both of you agree that you want to formalize the terms of your relationship in a structured and legally sound manner. Once that step's done, you're then going to consult with a legal professional. So engage an attorney who can guide you through the process. Ensure that your agreement complies with the law and help tailor it to your unique circumstances. Make full disclosure. So both partners must be transparent about their financial situation. This includes disclosing all of your assets, liabilities, income, and any other relevant financial information. But an attorney will guide you on case-to-case basis. You will then review the draft together. So you'll go through the draft agreement as a couple and ensure that both parties fully understand the contents and agree to the terms without pressure or misunderstanding. You're then going to sign and notarize the agreement. Now, notarization is not a legal requirement for a cohabitation agreement like it is, I mentioned earlier, with antenuptial contracts. However, this does provide an additional layer of credibility and can assist in the event of a dispute. And then you're going to store it safely and update the relevant documents. So what I mean by that is the original agreement must be kept in a secure place. You can either keep it with our offices, or you can perhaps, the couple can keep the agreement if they want. And then you're going to ensure that your wills and estate planning documents are all aligned with the terms of the agreement. You don't want your will and your cohabitation agreement to not be in sync because in the event that one passes away, both agreements are going to be looked at also.
Mm. And why is it important, Ms. Ali, to use lawyers like yourselves in drafting this agreement?
Yeah, so one of the most common mistakes in contracts is the use of vague or unclear language. So phrases such as "we share everything" may seem simple at first, but can lead to confusion and disagreement later in the event of separation. A legal professional will ensure that the agreement is clear, specific, and free of ambiguity. So this helps both parties understand their rights and obligations from the outset. So in the event of a dispute, the agreement may also need to be upheld in court. And if the cohabitation agreement is properly drafted and signed, the courts will treat it like any other legally binding contract and enforce its terms accordingly.
Mm. Does it now not replace probably like a will? Because you would agree that every person should have a will, and a lot of people do have like a will individually. Does it not now replace a will?
No. So it does not. A cohabitation agreement regulates the rights and responsibilities of the partners during the relationship and in the event of a breakup. A will, on the other hand, governs what happens to a person's estate after death.
Oh.
So to ensure full legal protection, both documents are necessary, because when entering into a cohabitation agreement, it is advisable to review or draft your will at the same time, like I said earlier, so that both documents align and reflect your intentions clearly. Because if you separate, the cohabitation agreement is going to play a role, but you can't use the will, because no one would have passed away. So that's why the cohabitation agreement is really important.
And what are some of the rights that are enforced or protected by this agreement?
So there's ownership rights. It protects each partner's legal rights to specific assets such as property, vehicle, or investments. We then have the debt protection. It clearly allocates financial responsibilities for joint or individual debts, and then it prevents future disputes. So another right that can be enforced is living expenses. So it ensures clarity on contributions to rent, utilities, and day-to-day expenses. Mm-hmm. It also supports and maintenance. So it provides for financial support where one partner is economically dependent on the other. And then pet care arrangements. There usually can be disputes on who's going to perhaps keep the cat or whatever pet they might have. So it outlines the responsibility for pets, including ownership and ongoing expenses, and then dispute resolution. So it gives structure to resolving disagreements through mediation or arbitration. Instead of going directly to court, there can be a clause in this agreement that states, in the event the couple separates and there is certain disputes, they're going to first try mediation and try and sort out those differences instead of first running to court, essentially. And then it also discusses the division of shared belongings. So it defines how household items will be divided should the relationship end. So all of this is discussed in this agreement.
Wow, quite a very interesting agreement, and I would probably option it for it should one not get married. Yes, it's definitely a very interesting one. No, thank you so much, Ms. Ali. Maybe your last words before we conclude and let you go, because maybe words of advice or anything with regards to this agreement.
Yeah, so the key takeaway is that a cohabitation agreement is an essential legal instrument. So it provides couples with clarity, financial protection, and peace of mind. So it is crucial to seek proper legal advice when drafting such an agreement and to ensure that your will is regularly updated to accurately reflect your intentions.
Definitely. No, thank you so much, Ms. Ali, as well as Ms. Matikizela, for joining us once again on Ivukuba Ngene Breakfast Show for some legal insight. Really appreciate it. And hopefully someone was listening. In case you just got this conversation, we're speaking with Othembele as well as Ms. Ali. They were joining us to bekhuluma ngecohabitation. Now, in case you missed that conversation, you can catch it live khona la ke MUT Radio app. Zobe sikhona ke in a few hours. Ngiyabonga kakhulu. Thank you so much guys for joining us once again on the Vukubangene Breakfast Show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Now, thank you so much. Yes, that was Mlambo Legal.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.